Good evening, everyone, and welcome to ET Healing and Explorations in Consciousness. This is Jackie Salvitti and my beautiful co-host, Veronica Entwistle. Hi, Ronnie.
Hi, Jackie.
How are you?
I'm cold. It's cold up here. We're headed to freezing time.
Yes, it's cold here. It snowed today.
You're kidding. You're ahead
of us. No, just for a little tiny bit. But, I mean, it's... Listen up.
Of course, nobody knows what the weather's supposed to be anymore, right?
No, absolutely not. And but I have filed a complaint.
I just wondered if you gotten your long underwear out.
Oh, my. I don't own long underwear. You know
oh,
me.
Oh, darn.
Okay.
Could be gold lamé. We don't know.
I know. I'm wearing the cashmere sweater and the tights and I have coats everywhere. It's just really crazy.
Yeah, and I'm all wrapped up in a pink wool blanket, so.
How utterly charming.
Yeah, I don't even have my lipstick on, so, you know, when you're cold, you don't need it, I guess.
No, it doesn't really matter. Although I've never been so hungry in my life as I have. It's been so cold. So
oh,
the body
wow.
must make up for lack of warmth with being hungry, you know. Or something, I don't know.
Yeah, probably, eh?
Okay, tonight we're going to talk again about parallel realities, parallel Earth, parallel versions of us. And I'm still in shock, so bear with me tonight. As Ronnie knows, that there is no notes, nothing. I did nothing. I'm having a little bit of difficulty adjusting to my new world. So, and I'm just going to tell the story, and then I really, because it's been, I don't know, I'm really playing out there in the cosmos right now, that's all I can say. But a couple of months ago, this started with reading a chapter in Dolores' new book, Dolores Cannon's new book, The Three Waves. And it was about this woman who went to Dolores, was hypnotized, and she, her higher self came through, and she was very ill all the time. She had a healing center, and it wasn't successful. And her higher self refused to heal her and said, well, she knows how to do this. And they said, you know, she needs to use the River of Light, blah, blah, blah. And her biggest problem is she hasn't made a commitment to stay on the earth. And so that set me off. I don't know. You know, I have no track of time, but this is probably 3 months ago, maybe. So, and I know this stuff, but, you know, I think, Ronnie, we sometimes forget, and especially right now with time and space getting so damn short,
We
don't have the luxury anymore of fooling around. It's like, but that hit me like a ton of bricks because that was my description. I've been ill now for fighting cancer for, oh my God, since 2000. That's 11 years. And technically I should be dead, okay? Normally, people with bladder cancer over that period of time never make it. That's kind of like you reach a certain point and it's a death sentence. And, you know, I never discuss that on the air because it's just not something I do. But I live with it. So making plans for the future have always been very difficult for me because I just never know or haven't known if I was going to be here. Although I have this other side of me that's very positive and, you know, it's like you really do become schizophrenic because, you know, you run on positive beliefs and attitudes and then you have a setback and then you run on, and this year I've had a lot of setbacks as most people who've listened to the show know. I think I had 5 surgeries altogether.
That's a lot.
Yeah, it is for 1 year. It is a lot. Mm-hmm. It takes a lot out of you. And plus I've had a lot of complications, you know, which certainly were not fun. And at any rate, so from that point when I read that, I know this stuff. I don't know what's been wrong with me. Was okay. The minute you change your mind, the chemicals start going off in your brain, and they go to every cell of the body. Okay,
mm-hmm.
The body is all right. Cells and molecules and atoms and, you know, nothing solid about our body. And so, but I think because I've been facing this for so long, dealing with it for so long, and I gave up a long time ago asking the team to heal it. I came to the conclusion this was my deal. Okay.
So is that what you are experiencing with the team? Is that you, Jackie, have to move beyond this, and they are waiting and watching?
I think I made the choice to do this. I think this was part of my personal challenge.
Mm.
And, you know, did the team hold back? We've always had an agreement between the team and myself. It is not to interfere in my learning to the point where I miss out on the excitement of discovery.
Okay.
All right? And that's been kind of an ongoing thing. Every once in a while, they'll drop something in, and I'm like, oh, wee, you know, only because they've gotten tired of waiting for me to figure it out.
So are you excited about your discoveries, Jackie?
I'm excited about every discovery. I don't think, you know, big or small, I don't think I ever lose my sense of excitement.
Oh, good.
But I have really, somewhere in the last couple of months, and, you know, I had gotten the message I was being taken back to a clean slate and this and that. But, you know, after a while, you get so beat up, and then you begin to wonder if it's really true. You wonder if it's really true. But I kept plowing forward with it because I just kept feeling it, but I couldn't really describe it. A couple of weeks ago, I panicked because I had blood in my urine, and I called the doctor's office. You never talk to the doctor. That's out of the question. And without telling me, she ordered two different tests. And the second test, which I had to take twice, was to see if there was any cancer cells in the bladder. And it came back with no cancer cells. And my little brain is trying to calculate this, you know, because you can get polyps or whatever, and you can get a thing called nests and all kinds of stuff. But it just, my brain was like, okay, there's no cancer cells. What does that actually mean? And I was facing a cysto. I don't even know what day this is, Thursday. On Tuesday. And so I know you'll laugh at this. I'm laying on the table as she's trying to get this tube up into my bladder with a camera. I'm reading The Nature of Personal Reality by Seth. And I've literally got my feet up in the stirrups and I'm reading. I don't want to look at the screen so I can see. I don't want to do anything. I just am so focused on this is the way it all works. Don't even go there.
Mm. Wow.
And at any rate, she goes in and she said, and I could hear her kind of take a breath, and I'm thinking, oh, no, it's not there. I know it's not there because I can be in a parallel dimension, and I can be in the dimension that aligns with perfect cells. Now, I have to add this in. A couple of nights before, I was taken out to all of these parallel versions of Earth. The whole night long, and the female that was doing this, who I think is the other version of me on the other side, because she's cranky and she's bossy.
Does she look like you?
I couldn't get that. I just knew that it was female, and I was exhausted. And wherever we had been, we came back, because you're not in a normal sleep when these things happen. I know you understand this, Veronica. Mm-hmm. And I'm thinking, oh, finally I can go to sleep. And she said, oh, no, we're not done. And off we went again. I'm thinking, crap.
Thank you for sharing, yeah.
Yeah, right. And I was so fascinated because this is the stuff I love. This is, you know, where I get really, really excited. You know, a couple of weeks ago, we did a show also on parallel realities. And even Bashar talks about the fact there is an infinite number of Earths and an infinite number of versions of ourselves. So I've been playing this with this.
Seems like a lot of responsibility.
Well, we're only focused on this version.
Right.
But the optimum is that we can connect with other versions. Now, here's the caveat. If we do, and we actually put our focus on that other version of ourselves, there are some people that may not be there. Okay? Pretty much everybody that's there is there, but there may be some people that aren't there.
I mean, there's just people that don't exist in that version of our life.
That's correct.
Okay. Do we get to choose?
No. Unfortunately, there's no voucher for you to fill out.
Oh, well.
But, you know, I thought about it, and I thought, well, there could be, this is where I get excited. There could be a different version, even of our children, you know, who have come to higher awarenesses or this or that. I mean, the possibilities are limitless, okay? At any rate,
is it just what we can decide on? I mean, is it how we can consciously decide?
Everything is by intention.
Okay.
And I really believe that if our intentions, and I know that dear Genevieve is working on this with her husband Dan, okay, aligning him with the version of him, and Charlotte as well, okay, her sister, aligning with the version of her that has perfect cells. They really, you know, I don't know that it happened because of that. I would really say this has been more my own personal experience in terms of I'm just over dealing with this. I think that's where I came to was it was a matter of I've decided to live, I've decided to stay, I've changed my mind. I'm working on constantly on absolutely watching every thought, every, you know, it's a lot of work. But it can become second nature because we've gotten so used to allowing our minds to wander to negative thoughts about anything. And it doesn't matter what the negative thought is. It lowers our frequency. It lowers our vibration. And we're going to attract, okay, based on what our vibration is, based on what our resonance is, based on what our intentions are. So, you know, this goes back to, Veronica, we create our reality, period. There's no except. You know? There's nothing after that sentence. We create our reality, all of it. So, and I had a perfect example today in a conversation with a client who was a little unhappy with her husband, and it was very interesting because the way she perceived that he was responding to something, when she talked to another party who had talked to him on the phone, it was over some other situation, and he said, oh, no, your husband is perfect, called me right on time, there was no resistance at all, we had a great talk, he's on board, and this had something to do with her children and some therapy for one of the children. And I said, you know, I don't know if she, I think the team was talking to her, but then she and I talked afterwards. But again, a perfect case in point. Our perception of reality versus what's really going on is individual. We're looking through our lens. And what's real for us doesn't necessarily mean it's real for anybody else. We get to choose. My favorite story, I don't think I've ever told this one on the air, maybe. Two people, these are clients that I had in the very beginning, very absolutely brilliant women, top business women. They were in Sedona. very galactic, both of them. And it's dusk, and they're parked in front of Bell Rock. And they started flashing the lights on the car, and all of a sudden, in a sequence, the lights inside the mountain are flashing out of the mountain towards them at the same sequence.
Wow.
The car lifts up and goes into the mountain with them in it. And believe me, these are not people that would make this stuff up. This is why it was so fascinating. What was even more fascinating to me, of the two women, their experiences were totally different of the same thing. There were reptilians in there. The one woman was so enraged she was beside herself. The other woman was absolutely enchanted, came out filled with love. The woman that got angry had burns all over her face for months. And she was in a meeting one day, and the woman sitting next to her obviously was a great intuitive. And she looked at her and she said, "The only way you're going to get rid of those burns is to give up the anger."
Oh, wow.
"When you go home, take a washcloth, put it on your face, and release the anger. When you're done, the burns will be gone." And it worked.
Wow.
Now, I worked with the woman who was angry for a couple of months. And this is when I did, you know, work in my room, in the house. And I don't even know if I was channeling at that point. And there would be a reptilian standing outside of the house because the room was upstairs. It was all glass, so you could look out over everything and out all the windows in the house. It was really fabulous. But there was this reptilian being who would stand outside every time I'd work on her.
Hmm.
It was really fast. It was a fascinating. But again, this is, to me, just a perfect indication of two people in exactly the same experience, as bizarre as it was, having totally different reactions and coming away with totally different feelings. They were in the freaking car. It's not like they were, you know. So,
but it's interesting.
Right.
Is it to do with, you know, I know it's intention and all that, but is that kind of driven from soul journey and connections that they might have with reptilians or not?
I would say this, okay? I'm going to go back to something that Bashar said a long time ago. Could it be many people carry deep levels of anger in the unconscious as part of collective stuff?
Mm-hmm.
With certain races. Will that crop up? Yes. Can it crop up? Yes. Built-in fear to anything of the reptilian family, you know, lizards, snakes, et cetera, et cetera. That's kind of built in the collective consciousness.
Right.
It can come from experiences on other planets, experiences on Earth, early Earth. So, if you ask, is it a soul journey, that's probably a piece of it as well. But with what we know today, okay, and you weren't at the, when we opened the Stargate and actually went and confronted the Draconians, that was huge. When the team brought that in to me, I was like, you guys are freaking kidding me. And the Draconian Queen. And it was, but we had to face our shadows to do it. Really embrace our own shadows to do it so we didn't project. It was pretty fascinating. And so, again, subjective reality. And the reason I go to subjective reality is because when we understand that we're in subjective reality, and the reality is subjective, that we can change it. Bashar said, one person, or two people, one ET, the ET pops into the room. They may see different versions of that ET. One might see a reptilian, one might see a small gray.
Mm-hmm.
Same being, they're resonating to different versions of that being. Or parallel or other lifetimes. Based on their own resonance. Dr. John Matt, in the last chapters, I'm not sure which one of his book Abductions, about the woman that was being abducted by the angry reptilian and had the presence of mind to flood it with love. And when she did, it turned into a small gray and then to a tall Nordic.
Hmm.
So this is how powerful we are when we really recognize it. I think we've been used to working with a very limited set of tools. And what I'm seeing is that that set of tools is expanding dramatically right now. And because time and space are shortening up so freaking short, we don't have the time or the energy to carry around unresolved anger, blame, victim, martyr, none of it. So I'll finish my story. I'm on the table reading my book, whose name I cannot remember the name of. Of the nature of personal reality. And she said, so far, so good. And I'm like, we're only halfway there. She comes around, she goes through the whole blat, and again, I'm still reading the book. I'm not even looking up. And there's a big screen next to me. I can look inside the bladder. Had no desire to do that. And she said, Jackie, I am looking at a healthy bladder. Woo! And I said, and that was it. At that point, I put the book down because I burst into tears.
Aww.
I have never heard those words.
Aww.
I have never heard those words.
Wow.
Ever. And considering all the cancer, the cancer was coming back at the rate of one tumor per 30 to 40. To 45 days.
Wow.
That's how fast it was piling in on me. So this last year has been a real challenge for me.
Wow.
And my doctor in Monterey was on standby to do a surgery and then put me on the chemo and just waiting for the results of the cysto. And she said, you're on every 4 months now. She said, you're on your way. And I know Fotar was there, my go-to guy, because she was saying things were coming out of her mouth that there is no way she would have said. I was looking at her and I go, oh my God, he's here. And so, and she said, I can't stop crying. And I told her what happened with my ex-husband and about taking him to dinner after 27 years. And, you know, I don't say on the air a lot of things that he did, but putting a bomb in my car, taking me to the desert and telling me that if I ever tried to leave, no one would ever find me. I'd be buried in the desert. And I mean, the stories go on endlessly. I mean, this really is like the movie Casino.
I never saw that.
Huh? Oh, don't. No, you don't want to see that movie.
Okay.
But I had no family, and I pretty much was held captive. He controlled all the money, so I could never go anywhere for 20 years. But I gave him everything when I left, because otherwise he would have killed me anyway. And but to come to a point of forgiveness with him, absolute, total forgiveness and love, I knew when my son said something and triggered anger in me with him that I had to do that one. And I told her this, and I said, look, this was the last big piece for me, and I know it. Okay? I absolutely know it. That was the last piece of feminine rage. And I was crying, and she was on the verge of crying, and she just kept looking at me, shaking her head, going, I can't believe you took him to dinner. And I said, look, you got to walk the talk. There is no room anymore for bullshit. There just isn't. and especially not from me. I really get, I'm held to some other standard here. I get zero wiggle room. I really do, Veronica. I've come to the conclusion I have zero wiggle room. Obviously, I signed on for that. I'm certainly not going to say that anybody's forcing me. I think that I hold myself to that standard. But, and the reason I knew Fotar was there, she said, and it's time for you to start having sex. This is two different doctors that knew nothing about my sex life. And I'm like, excuse me? She said, it's time for you to have a balanced life. And I just looked at her and went, okay. I was like, what?
So did she introduce you to anyone?
No, we don't want to go there. But I cried all day Tuesday. It was the hardest thing in the world. Once I'd go into session and actually go into channel, I'd be okay. I cried all night. My gratitude has been unbelievable, and I thank everybody that's listening tonight or whenever you listen to the show in the archives for all of your prayers and your light and your support. Veronica, you as well. But the amazing thing is, well, Zaris has always said that drastic change can create depression. You know, it can really blast you. And I realized all of a sudden I'm not the version of me I was. That's gone. And, you know, did I align with a different reality? I don't know. Do I feel different? You betcha. Am I having to try to figure out who I am now? Yes. I mean, I really kind of feel like, okay, I got to rethink my whole life. I can actually plan for the future. That's a
wow. What is that going to do? What are you going to do?
I don't know. But I have to take the time to be with that.
Wow. This is big.
It's huge. For the first time since 2000, I don't have to wake up wondering, okay, when the next siege is, when the next surgery is, if I'm going to make it.
Wow.
And these are things I don't share with people because, you know, by nature, I'm very positive, but if you think those things don't creep in, there's no way.
Right.
And constantly looking for blood. It was like constantly looking for blood, the danger sign, you know, the one that says get to a doctor or hospital immediately. Mm-hmm. So, and I have to share this other piece. This really does say how stubborn I am. Because doctors will tell you if you smoke, you're going to have bladder cancer. If you've got it and you don't quit smoking, it'll never go away. And that just made me more angry. Now I can quit smoking because nobody's on my ass to quit smoking.
I thought you quit a while back.
No.
Okay.
No. I haven't done anything other than I switched over to organic, American Indian organic.
Oh.
And, which I hate, but, you know, whatever. No additives. That was a big deal. But for me, and I know this sounds absolutely terrible to some of you who are listening, just bear with me. I had to prove that this, in all disease, is emotionally based. And this goes back a long way, okay? A long way for me, that I absolutely believe that, and that when you heal the emotions, you heal the body. So, and I know that's really stubborn and you don't play with that, but I also knew at the rate it was coming back, and even the doctors admitted, this was not about smoking. They could not account for the onslaught of the way it was coming in and the rapidity. It was just, there was no way to describe it. They didn't have a formula for this one. So that's my miracle.
wonderful miracle. Wow.
It's a huge miracle. And what's really interesting is I don't feel like somebody who's had cancer.
Hmm.
It's like that was then and this is now. And I had another miracle years ago where I had kidney cancer. They were kind of, you know, dusting their hands off saying, yeah. I had no insurance, blah, blah, blah. And I was in the hospital for a week, and they sent me home and said, come back in 10 days. And they did another CAT scan. And the cancer was gone and all the tumors I'd had for 10 years.
Wowzer.
Yeah, and the doctors could not. I mean, you know, my doctor said, all I can tell you is every doctor in this hospital is talking about this because this is a bona fide miracle. And I said, I know. I absolutely knew that it was. There was no question in my mind. And that was in, like, 87. So, and the tumors had been in that same kidney. So I had been battling with that kidney for years, years and years. And so.
Do you think feminine rage, but also you had to go on quite an inner trek to find out all the emotions that were trapped. Don't we all have that too?
There is so much. And I want to say to everybody listening tonight, lots of rage is coming up right now. It's bubbling up in people. Even people who are not historically rageful are finding that all of a sudden they're getting angry and things are triggering them. And I just want to tell all of you, you haven't lost your mind. This is what's happening.
Mm-hmm.
And this stuff is trying to make its way up and out. Okay? That
so
is
we
the
need
fact
to have rage parties, eh?
Well,
instead of rage, right?
Well, we're processing collective feminine rage,
yep,
and our individual feminine rage. And it can be from lineage. It can be, you know, we were imprinted with all this stuff from our entire lineage as well, and nationality and religion. And so we're carrying around a boatload of stuff. And which is where that collective rage comes from, and then the individual rage of being discounted and abused, whether it was done by mother or father, it doesn't matter, or husbands or boyfriends or girlfriends, or because men have it too.
Or even men. The whole political thing and the mortgage,
oh,
and all
course.
That stuff, it's the same patriarchal or whatever, dominant.
It is the dominance. And men are experiencing, of course, feminine rage because they've been victims of it, plus they're imprinted as well.
Right.
You know, rageful mothers, girlfriends, you know, lovers, wives, etc. So we're processing rage at a huge rate right now. And, it, you know, with all the sessions I do, and my poor bladder got beat to hell. I have to say this. It got beat to hell. I could do a session and literally start bleeding like crazy if I was working on rage with people.
Mm.
So now, does that mean it was triggering it in me or am I processing theirs? I don't know. You know, I mean, often I thought, you know, maybe if I just quit the sessions, I could heal.
But another way is if they bring up things that might have been lurking, that's...
Well, you know, it's really interesting. If it did, I'm not aware of it because mine was my own personal journey. But it could, you know, again, I think the jury's out on all of that. I mean, I had my mother and my ex-husband. Those were, you know, the big ones. And we all have a parent. I mean, because it all begins with the mother.
Yeah,
and the father. So,
that's,
you know. And by the way, we can project mother on a man, father on a woman. It's not.
Well, maybe the mother also comes from the lineage, which, you know, she just represents a whole other thing too, doesn't she?
Well, the mother carries lineage. It can trigger what you've experienced in other lifetimes, but you've got a specific lineage. For all the star beings that are listening, that had to come in through family, a lot of you pick some humdingers. You know?
That's for sure, hey?
And it may have been just the genetics that you needed, okay? And you were willing to take the rest of the stuff with it. For some people, they, you know, they got a whole group of people that they've been working things on, trying to work things out for eons with. Got them all together in a family. So,
so I guess what I was thinking is that the mother, for example, not just the mother, but the mother, for example, can represent a lot of the things that we need to be working out anyway.
Well, so can the father. I mean, I think we have more issues with dad, but the mother is the greatest influence because that's where you're seated.
Mm-hmm.
And the emotional imprints tend to be much deeper with a mother because you're carried in the womb. And while mother, when mother is conceived, all the cells, at the moment she's conceived, all the cells that will eventually become you, your seed, are present. So if you go back generationally, you kind of look at, oh my God, the, you know, on the mother's side, it's very, very deep.
Mm-hmm.
And then you have other lifetimes, and you know that's why we call everybody in for when we're, geez, for every session, is trying to work on every level, going every direction with all this stuff. Other planets, other dimensions, other levels, other universes. I mean, God.
We're a big
really
library.
Mm-hmm. It's a huge library. Huge library. And I think that we're still really working with all of understanding all of this. The dimensional thing, I got to tell you, the fact that it happened two nights before the session, I thought that was fascinating. Or my doctor's appointment. I thought that was fascinating. And I played with it today. I had a client that I knew was in trouble. I just felt it. They live in another country, and there was something wrong because they hadn't called. It was like 10 minutes late. And I thought, well, wait a minute. Okay. We can go to a different, you know, only me, right? We can go to a different dimension, a different version, okay, where it's easy for her to get there. And I sat there, and I said, okay, now she's dialing me. Boom, the phone rang. And it was the case. She was being held back from being able to call for a variety of reasons, including there's a race that isn't very happy about her having a session. And it was fascinating. I just let her tell the story. I didn't ask anything. So, but again, the more you play with this, the more fun you can have.
Hmm.
I think. I think
I'm
that
up for it. I want to do it.
I think there's no limit, truly. Okay? To what, I mean, you know, it's not an ego thing, but it's very exciting. Anytime that limitations are moved out in a way, I just get so high, I don't know if I'm coming or going. Doesn't mean I master them, but the idea that we could play with it, you know, it's like when I started folding time and space. That, to me, was the most exciting concept in the world. And I'd be on the road all the time, and I'd call my girlfriends, and I'd say, okay, it's such and such a time. Okay, it's this far from here to home. I'm going to make it in half that time. You guys clocked me, and I do it.
And what did they say? Did they have trouble believing? Or
no, they think I'm a certified nut anyway, so it didn't really matter.
So you're saying, Jackie, that all we need to do is use our minds and our visualization and move up and out into a different
I, you know, here's
picturing.
What I would say. go in meditatively, all right, and travel. And set your intentions. Call in your guides, your higher self, your soul. I want to travel to another version, okay? Now, here's the catch. It's going to look like the one you've got, except there will be some difference. Either you will be different, you'll be happier, you may be sadder. You know, this is a pick and choose time here. But when you do it, ask to be taken to another version of Earth, another version of you, where you are happier, more healthy, where your cells are humming along, whatever it is you want to experience. In your case, Veronica, I've already got the television show.
Great, great. Okay.
You understand what I mean?
Yes, I do. Mm-hmm. So it's really just like traveling out of the 3D in your visualization. Your
well, you are, of course, you mm-hmm. are traveling in a way out of 3D.
Okay.
And there is no limit. That's the part that excites me. Now, you can run into some funky stuff, be aware. But you're not stuck, so just choose to go in as the observer.
Hmm.
And you love to do this stuff, so you're a perfect candidate. Okay, I'm gonna bring in the team here.
Okay, wonderful.
All right, everyone. We'll see if we can calm our channel down. She's crying again. All right. She's been a weepy one. All right. All right. We hope you're having fun with these ideas. We hope you're titillated.
I sure all right. am.
All right. Titillated is the word. New possibilities. Now, bear in mind, all right, you don't get to skip over. This is like trying to skip seventh grade, maybe, you know. Remember that you must do this responsibly. Remembering that you create your own reality, period. So when you go to these places, when you start exploring with this, we recommend that you first fully own that you're creating your reality. And that means no blame, no competition, no resentment. Because when you accept that you're creating your reality, that pointer finger has to come back to you. That's a difficult one for all of you. Remember, if somebody is in a car and starts yelling at you, you know, oh, you stupid woman, you did this or that. That's rage coming at you. That's an opportunity if you look, wait a minute. What am I not dealing with that it has to come at me? All right? Interesting idea, isn't it?
It is.
You live in a world, all right, of projection and reflection. Projection and reflection. Based on that, all right? It all begins with you. All of it, no exception. So we would recommend that you may want to put your training wheels on for a week or two. Not you necessarily, Veronica, but anybody else who isn't really sure. And really do a refresher course. We've talked about Bonnie's website, and the channel is immersed right now in the Seth material. Still brilliant material, still used by many. All right, referred to by many of the great teachers always, because the material is so clean, so concise. When you really do accept that, take that responsibility, then the exciting part, all right, is going out to experience new things. Call in your guides, and tonight we're going to leave it open for you to call upon us if you want to play around a little bit in these other dimensions. Have some fun. All right. Now, we're going to put a caveat on this, all right? If you're angry at your husband and you want to go find another version of you that's married to someone different, that may not work, all right?
It could get pretty confusing.
Right. If you're 100 pounds overweight, now that doesn't mean you cannot find another version of you that may be married to someone very lovely, and another version of you that is not 100 pounds overweight. Now, connecting with that version may be just the ticket to lose the weight. Play with this. It's a new tool in your toolbox, basically. It's been theoretical up till now. And the channel is only she could. Thinks that she's, you know, found the hidden Christmas. And that she's very excited. All right? Which we knew she would be. All right?
It is pretty exciting.
And she's been insistent about going further, going further, going further. We don't want to hold her back too much. All right? We don't want her leaving the planet altogether. But there are so many wonderful options for all of you. Having a sense of dominion is the number one. Being diligent, being impeccable about your reality creation. Taking the time. Now, we love Bonnie because when something isn't working in her life, the first thing she does is sit down to find the belief that she's holding that could be creating that in her experience and reflecting it back to her. Now, that's responsibility. That's impeccability. And it's freedom, everyone. When you recognize and own that your reality is your creation, what happens to your sense of security and safety and dominion? It expands dramatically. And of course, always remember, everyone, it's a dream. It is a dream. When things get too serious, try to remember that it's a dream. It allows things to be much more liquid, much more fluid. Because as humans, you tend to cling on to things. Oh, this is solid and it's mine. And no, it's not. Atoms and molecules all in motion. And you're just pretending it's solid. It doesn't make it real. It's a dream. It's an illusion. It's an exciting one. But every one of you are in the driver's seat. Every one of you can create miracles. You're miracle makers, all of you. All of you. Now the channel has planted her flag in the front yard. Miracle maker, there it is. See, ultimately, had we done it for her, she would never have grown as much as she did. She would never expand it. And things wouldn't be as precious to her. Because with humans, you know, sometimes if it's too easy for all of you, it's not that exciting. You tend to take it a little bit for granted. Ask anybody who's won the lottery and then lost it all.
Mm.
There's a preciousness about knowing that you took the steps to create your reality and owning it and being in the middle of it, all of you. And we know everyone listening to this is fully capable, absolutely capable of creating those miracles. Sky's the limit, everyone. There's really nothing that you can't do. We know this. This is why we enjoy spending time with you so much and watching you grow and spread your wings. It's delightful for us. And we appreciate our time with you very much. Now, do you have questions, Veronica?
I'm just sort of imagining, like at one point you said you could have, it could get complicated out there, but you just mean if you're asking for something. One would assume one would improve the picture, right?
Well, let's say that you're at another version of Earth where there's already extraterrestrial human involvement. We don't want you to panic when you get there.
Oh, I see what you're saying.
There are versions of Earth that have been destroyed. So be very careful about your intentions, about what you want to connect with. Mm-hmm. If you're just on a tour, Veronica, which we know you tend to do.
Curious.
Yes, this is why we made the caveat, because we know your curiosity. Mm-hmm. But we don't want you to connect with something that scares the hell out of you and then come back and go, I'm not doing that.
Hmm.
Do you understand?
I sure do. And another question I have is that can we do that for the sake of other people in our lives, like, go into the parallel lives of, like our daughters or something?
All right, say it again.
All right, if I'm going into a parallel life and another Earth and seeing myself in a different health circumstance or financial circumstance,
yes.
And can I do that for someone else?
Not for them. You can do it for yourself, and they would be there.
Okay. But they will be there if I call them with me? Or?
Well, of course they're going to be there. It's another version of Earth. It doesn't mean that everything is gone except you.
I thought when Jackie was talking about it, she was saying that some people just won't be there.
Well, that's true. Mm-hmm. They may not be around as much. Or they may be around all the time.
Mm-hmm.
And some people may have disappeared from your reality.
So you're saying don't be sloppy in your visualizing what it is you want. don't be taking it for granted.
Well, again, we're not trying to make this sound like a big drama.
No, I know.
You're already doing it, people, whether you realize it or not. Don't you ever have those days where you wake up and you think, oh, this is so amazing. And things feel so different.
Yeah.
I don't know what happened.
Hmm.
You have those moments where you've shifted. We'll give you another example. Many references in Dolores' books about people who are driving down the street and all of a sudden they're in a 50s or a 60s setting. What happened? They popped into a parallel dimension. What happens when the beings that you call the grays come to see you? They're popping in from a parallel dimension. Do you understand?
Yes, I do.
Now, they may appear to be coming in on ships at times, but that doesn't mean they're not popping in from a parallel dimension that has ships.
I understand that.
Do you understand?
Yeah. It's all pretty exciting, isn't it?
Exactly.
And I guess we have to end this.
All right, Veronica, tell us about your shows.
Yeah, I have an interesting show Tuesday night at 8 o'clock BBS Radio. Is Paradigm Shifters presents Linda Sherman, who's an astrologer, but her big thing is what's going on economically and politically on the planet. So she's always pretty exciting.
Wonderful. Wonderful.
Well, I'll ask her if she wants to do parallel realities. She'd probably be up for it. She's a character. And Thursday, we'll be back on with Radiance by Design at 7 o'clock. Bob's reminding me, Tuesday night when Linda Sherman's on, it's a call-in show. She likes to answer people's
questions. Wonderful.
Yeah, it gets very zesty with her.
Excellent. All right.
So thank you.
All right. Now, very quickly. Since you brought up economics, and we're seeing a lot of this with people that we work with. Some people who've been very, very wealthy, having lost a huge portion of their wealth.
Mm-hmm.
Other people, not so much. Now, versions of reality. And you're going to see more and more of this, especially as things start getting dicey. What do you choose to experience, you see? Can you have a separate reality from others? The answer, of course, is yes.
Remember, I used to ask you that question show after show.
Well, you weren't ready then, but you are all ready now.
Yeah.
Because with the things that are coming, all right, we have a husband and wife who are very wealthy, and they experience their reality quite differently. One chooses elegance and ease, and the other one stress and panic. Now, what's really interesting is the idea of these two people existing in the same household. And she, in fact, experiences, as long as she doesn't judge him, experiences elegance and ease. You are moving into the most intricate reality, the most fun imaginable. And this is when you really want to be getting out to study books and study. All right. Tonight, very quickly here. We would love to work with you if you call us in. Parallel dimensions. Just a taste. All right. But certainly enough to get your juices flowing, to get you excited. know that we love you all very much. And we're very excited to see where all of you are going. Veronica, you as well, and Robert.
Thank you.
To our dear Seth, who's in the computer room or whatever it is. Know that we love you, dear ones, and until we speak with you again in this format, and we will be around tonight if you call us in. Be specific. Be specific. Namaste, dear friends.
Namaste. Thank you so much.
Oh, we're over.
Yes.
They cut us off.
Not yet.
Okay. All right, everybody. Well, we love you so very much. Remember that a piece of us is in you, a piece of you is in us. We really are all one. We can't be separate. It would be a good try if we could, but we just can't, and who would want it? Mm-hmm. I love you all very much. Thank you all for all your support over these years. My heart is filled with gratitude. And to you as well, Ronnie.
And to you, Jackie. Congratulations.
Thank you.
Thanks for teaching us so much.
Thank you. Good night, everybody.
Good night. Good night, everyone.